This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, always forever we begin by praising Allah Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah We testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah And we send our love and our greetings, our salutations to beloved Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam To his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time May Allah bless us to be amongst them, Ameen May Allah bless us and protect us as a country May Allah place the best of us as our leaders May Allah guide those who are going to be our leaders May Allah guide them, grant them to follow the guidance of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala There is no guidance other than the guidance of Allah. Ameen. Today we're going to talk about the elections. I'm still in two minds whether I should just change this topic and talk about the importance of the miswak or something nice and neutral and easy. Because I have a feeling no matter what I say, I'm going to be the bad guy somewhere. And that's the nature of politics. In fact, the very first fitna in our ummah was a political one. Sahaba on both sides. Wanting the same thing, wanting what's best for the community. And I think I want to start off with that. If you come to a different conclusion to your neighbor, your brother, your friend, don't think that that person's conclusion is coming from a place of insincerity. That person might be wrong, or you might be wrong. But ultimately, we all want goodness for our community, for your children and my children, the same school that my kids go to, is the school your kids go to. We want goodness for all of us. And we might see things differently. And so whatever you hear, you might like, you might agree or disagree, it's up to you. But alhamdulillah, I must caveat, I'm not being paid by any political party. I've been accused of receiving petrol dollars from MBS. I can give, Burhanul's bank details are there. The subscription gladly accepts petrol dollars, ruples from Russia. Political dollars, anything, alhamdulillah, the soup kitchen accepts all of it, alhamdulillah. But we are not paid by anybody, and we're just giving our few objective views and guidance, as I think it's important for the Muslim voter, they want to know, what should I do? And when the Muslim voter asks, what should I do, he's doing this from a sincere aspect. If he knows it is haram for me to vote, then he says, I won't vote. If he says, you must vote, I will vote, then tell me who to vote for. I want guidance to do what is right with my Rabb. I want to be able to answer this question of the Qiyamah. What did I do? And so I'm going to list some points and thoughts that we need to take into consideration as we go into the elections on the 29th of May. For those who didn't know, the 29th of May is elections. Alhamdulillah, you have a public holiday, but you have a duty to vote on that day. The first point we make, and this is the Sharia principle of the leader and the ruler. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that it is wajib, it is compulsory to obey and follow the ruler, whether you like him or not. Whether he does his job or doesn't do his job, whether he's evil or corrupt, you need to obey him in so much as you do not do sin. Because without that we have anarchy, then we have chaos. So Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, obey Allah absolutely. Allah's obedience, no questions. Wa atiyu Rasul, and obey the Rasul absolutely. If the Nabi says jump, you say how high. You don't ask why or where. And then Allah says, Wa ulil amr. He didn't say obey those in leadership. He says, and those in leadership. This deliberately, Allah removed the word atiyu. Meaning, you obey the leadership because they are in charge of you, in so much as they command you to do that doesn't go against the Sharia. Whether you like them, you don't like them. And we get this even more specific. The Nabi says, the best of all rulers are those whom you love and those whom love you. Now, I don't think we have that situation, unfortunately. And upon whom you make dua for them and they make dua for you. Allah musta'an. May Allah grant us this. And the worst of rulers are those whom you hate and they hate you. I think we are in that position. And we curse them and they curse you. Allah protect us. This is where we are. So then the Sahaba said, should we not go and overthrow these evil ones? We are cursing them. We're making dua against them. Should we not fight them? So the Nabi says, no. We do not fight and do not go to war. We don't cause rebellion. We don't cause mischief. So long as you are allowed to, the prayer is established, meaning also you can practice your religion freely. You can make salah freely. You can be a Muslim freely. Alhamdulillah, then that's okay. And then he goes on further. The Nabi says, as long as you can practice your, you can make salah, the salah is established. And then he says, one of you might have a governor appointed over him, and you find that this governor indulges in all kinds of haram. It's a very corrupt governor. And even if he might take your money, he might hit you. In such a case, you should not obey him in his sin, but you should not withdraw yourself from his obedience. You cannot withdraw yourself from obeying him. I'm not going to follow your rules, your laws. That is not so. Allah has made it compulsory on us. Whoever is the ruler, whoever is the president, the 29th, summon wa ta'an, we are and we obey. So long as you don't command us to do haram, then we follow your rules. But ultimately, point number two, we should always remember, the ultimate law is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best advice we can give to all the political parties, take your constitution, throw it away, take the Quran as your constitution, and you'll find that everything will be right in your lands. There is no greater law than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no one that knows more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ. Do you prefer to choose a law that is of ignorance, comes from jahl? وَمَنْ أَحْسُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِكَوْمِ يُقِنُونَ. And Allah says, and who is better to give laws and guidance than the Lord of the universe? So when the Lord of the universe says the death penalty in it, there is life for you, it is good for you. You don't follow it, that's why you have crime that's out of control. When he says the riba is bad for you, you don't listen, then you have an economic system where a few controls everything. Listen to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the second point. Point number three. So someone might say, if the laws of Allah is supreme, but we have political parties who legalizes what Allah has made haram and make haram what Allah has made halal, how can we even vote for them? How can we even support them? Allah says in the Quran, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. And whoever deliberately chooses a law over the law of Allah, then indeed they are kafir. And you find you certain groups, they'll say for you to vote is an act of kufr. You support them in their ideologies where they would say something against that alcohol is permissible. You are free to do what you want. You are free to marry whom you want. This goes against the Sharia. So am I also liable? We say no. Nobody here, unless of course that's your belief. I am voting because this constitution is better than the Quran. Then you have a problem. But I don't think any Muslim votes a political party believing that the laws of man is superior to the laws of Allah. No one believes that. We choose a political party for what basis? To choose the best of them or the least evil of them? And who is the closest to the Sharia? We say none of them are in line with Allah's command. At least one or two might be the closest, so we choose that one because their harm is least. And this is, we are practical religion. And so the ulama of the world, we're not the only Muslim minority in the world that needs to vote. The ulama council, of these are the greatest scholars in the world. They have addressed this issue many years ago, and they said it is permissible for a Muslim who has the rights to citizenship in a non-Muslim country to take part in the elections and the like, because it is more likely that the Muslim participating, the benefit we will do is we will bring benefits such as presenting a true picture of Islam. We would want to vote for a party that represents the rights of the Muslims. We want to defend the rights of Muslims and support the rights of religious minorities and strengthen our circle of influence. So why would you not do that? And some scholars like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, great scholar in Saudi, passed away. He said, it's not only permissible, it is wajib. How can you stand before Allah? And you saw one party is completely wrong, and the other one is 70% wrong, and you just allow that 100% party that is wrong to take control. For example, our Muslim brothers in India, may Allah make it easy, you have one party clearly anti-Muslim. Their ideology is to harm the Muslims. Their selling point is, we're going to get these Muslims out. How can you then say, no, I don't want to be political? You can't be apolitical in a situation like that. You must be political. You must stand against this ideology. And so, and in our situation, how can you say, I don't care who rules over me and who takes my taxes and how it gets spent, who is in charge of my school, of my kids, and the hospitals that my parents are going to go to? How can you say I'm apolitical? By not being political, it is a type of political stance which is bad. And so everybody must vote. We don't want to use the word wajib because it means that it's haram for you not to vote. But really, you ask yourself, I have to stand before Allah. There's a genocide going on. Your country is falling apart due to corruption, load shedding. What did you do? Allah, I joined the public holiday. It's not a sufficient argument to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to vote. And this one even more important. So why is this election, point number four, why is this election very, very important? Because There's major repercussions. In the past, you might have said, well, if I don't vote, the status quo stays the same. The DA will rule the Western Cape and the ANC will rule the country. And maybe that was the case. But there is a very real chance now that possibly the DA could lose the Western Cape. And the ANC, well, it's an outside chance, could lose their outright majority. And you could have a new ruling coalition. And so we need to think about, as much as we are unhappy about the status quo, what replaces it could be worse, could be better, could be worse. And for you to not have a thought about it, at least, just think about it, consider it, make dua, what do I do? And then go and vote your conscience, it is really negligent on your behalf. And so if you look at the stats, 2019, the ANC had 58% of the votes, but they consistently have been losing 5, 6%. And so they're getting very close to that sub 50 mark, which means they might not have an outright majority. They would have to align with coalition partners. And so this becomes a very important election. We also know that the majority of the people who can vote are not voting, which tells you something. The majority of the people who can vote are saying no to all of you. We are a very unhappy country, a very disillusioned country. And the biggest demographic is not the Buddhas I see in front of me. It is between the ages of 20 and 35. This is the majority of our country today. The youth who have no allegiance to a struggle, who are looking for an opportunity, who might not have the wisdom, and might go for different parties for radical reasons. And so it becomes very, very important to consider what will our country look like this time next week. This is very important. Your vote counts more than ever. Okay, so that's why it's important 2024. So what are the major issues? Now, most of us know what the major issues are. When you take this consideration, you need to know, what are we talking about? What are the big problems? Yes, maybe in your street, your light hasn't been working, and that's the biggest issue in the world. Which party is going to fix my light? But wallahi, there are bigger things to consider. And we need to look at the good and the bad. When we kick somebody out, we kick the ANC or the DA out, we kick the good with them out with them. And if we keep them, we keep their bad. And if we bring someone new, we bring their good and their bad. And this is the essence of the mas'ala. So what are the benefits? What goods? What have the current establishment, what is the good that they have done? Alhamdulillah, we can say, thumma alhamdulillah, not a single person here, I believe, fears for his deen in terms of being from the government interfering in his life. Walhamdulillah. And this is a major blessing. Muslims who have been in India for more than 1,000 years don't know if they can practice their religion freely. Muslims in Muslim countries don't know if they can go to a Jumu'ah and the Khatib will speak the truth because he's not being watched by the government. Alhamdulillah, the freedom you have did not come cheap, and do not take it for granted. Muslims in the land of the free and the home of the brave can't even say certain slogans like, let Palestine be free. In the most free of the world. So alhamdulillah, the level of freedom we have, don't take it for granted, and it can be lost if there's a change in politics. We are of the most privileged Muslim minorities in the world. We have a country that on paper believes in human rights, human dignity, freedom. We have, you might not believe it, but we have comparatively a stable country. You can go to court. Someone bumps into you, there's a process. You need an application made, you don't have to go and pay hundreds of bribes and fines. We have a process that kind of works. It's broken sometimes, but it works. And 30 years ago, the world watched if this country is going to be a failed state like so many African countries. Alhamdulillah, Allah protected us from that. And those who are in charge of it need to take credit that they played their role in what we have today. And we have a province. We also have to give credit that perhaps this province is the province that is best functional at the moment. And so all these things, we find non-Muslim parties that have a very good alliance or relationship. We can phone them and they will do their best to help us. They have great respect for Islam and for us. I mean, which other country, non-Muslim country, can you look at all the major political parties and you find in their senior leadership, Muslims? And that's a good thing. Whether you hate the DA or the ANC, whatever. Alhamdulillah, I'm glad that there are Muslims in those parties. And someone might say, A'udhu Billah, how can they be there? How can you be part of the DA or the ANC? Read Surah Mu'min. There's a Surah in the Quran. The Surah Al-Mu'min, the believer, not Mu'minun, the one believer. Who is this man? Who is this believer? This is a believer in the administration of Fir'aun. And you have him in the Quran speaking to Fir'aun. Boss, chief, what you're doing with Musa is not right. We should think about this. Allah praises him. Did he resign? Did he say, no, Fir'aun, I can't be part of this administration? No. He's trying to pull the strings on the inside. And Allah praises him and puts him in the Quran. So alhamdulillah, we hope our brothers and sisters in whatever political party, your agenda is firstly the agenda of Allah. And you pull whatever strings you can for the sake of the betterment of the Muslims and humanity as well. So there's some lot of goods. And we don't want to lose these things. We don't want to lose this by changing the leadership. But there are big problems. And we can't let the status quo continue. And these problems, you might have a different list, a different order. But I've put them, for me, the things that's primarily on my mind. What does the conflict in Gaza say about you? It's not just about Gaza. But if you are okay with mass genocide of children and women, I don't want you to be in charge of my kids' school. I have a problem with that. I have a problem if your ideology is aligned to where some parties or some group or some type of people or some system is superior, and I'm not part of that elite group, then your policies will flow out like that. So I have a problem with that. I've made this a primary issue for me. You might say, well, that's a foreign issue. But for me, it's a primary issue. If your stance on Gaza is very important to me. The economy and unemployment is perhaps the second biggest one. 40% of our country is unemployed. That's unacceptable. Your job as a government is to create, to help our dunya well-being. If you can't create jobs because of your failing, then you need to take responsibility. And more than that, the inequality. So it's not only that we are a poor country, we have mass inequality. We are the most unequal society in the world. The worst of the worst. We have 7% of this, where you have to, or rather 20% of this country controls 70% of this country. The same people who benefited from apartheid are still in control economically. So whichever political party you are, you haven't fixed this. And we must say this again. The Western Cape and Cape Town is the worst when it comes to inequality. This city works, but not for you if you're in Manenberg. If you're in Bishop's Court, yes. But if you're in Bishop Labours, doesn't work. People who are rich control, and there is a party, and there's an ideology that maintains the status quo. We want to keep it going. That's a problem for me. Then there's also a problem when you've robbed this country so blind to the point where we can't fix our roads. People died in hospitals. We've robbed it, stole it, through corruption, to the point where we can't even provide water, electricity, sanitation. People have died through your corruption. You've allowed an external family to rob this country blind. You need to take responsibility for that. And then, of course, crime. How can it be that we are the second most violent country in the world? Your primary objective is to protect its citizens. I don't care. And subhanAllah, Cape Town, if you look at the highest murder rates, Nyanga, Guguletu, always features top of the list. Both the ANC and the DA need to take that responsibility. If you can't protect your citizens, there's something seriously wrong. We have load shedding. To have 289 days last year of load shedding, the whole year, you can't provide electricity. You claim to be the most developed economy in Africa. Yet you find many African countries don't have the extent of load shedding that we do. Another shocking statistic, as we said, the majority of our country is below the age of 40. Yet only 56% of the youth either have a job or are learning. The other 45 are sitting doing nothing. No opportunities. That's a disaster waiting to happen. It is a disaster, but it's even a bigger disaster. So these are the issues. And so when you vote, you must ask yourself, I don't want to lose the good that I have, but I can't allow these problems to continue. And these are major problems. Can this economy deal with more load shedding, more corruption? Can we deal with more crime, more taxes? How much more before the system breaks? And this is the challenge that we have. So how do I make a choice? What does the Quran, what does the Sharia tell us to do? Well, in a situation like that, where we don't have a clear answer, we don't have a Sayyidina Abu Bakr or Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu who will come and we all say, Alhamdulillah, lead us. We now have to choose. And choose, unfortunately, the lesser of two evils. What is evil? No one is good, no one is perfect. And so we choose the pros and the cons. And we have to weigh up what is in the best interest, firstly and foremost, for the Ummah. When I say Ummah, I mean locally, internationally. What is best for our deen? At the end of the day, if you take my house, I'm sad. You take away my healthcare, I'm sad. But if my deen is preserved and I die as a Muslim and my kids die as a Muslim, alhamdulillah, then at least we've succeeded. But if you have all the khair and barakah, all the goodness, but my deen deteriorates, well, then that's a problem. So I need to prioritize my deen, then my dunya. And every single person here, you must do the same. And we need to voice our concerns as Muslims. And in a way in which it encourages, we need to make this vote change. If whatever's wrong in the political establishment, we need to show them, we want you to change for the better. And if you've changed for the better, wallahi will support you. And we will campaign for you. But you need to change for the better. So now let's get into the thick of things and look at each party. We didn't want to name names, but now we need to name names. And wallahi, when you go through the names, Allah, Allah musta'an, we see the hadith of the Nabi Sallam. A Bedouin asks, Ya Rasulullah, when is Qiyamah going to come? The Prophet says, when the power of the authority comes in the hands of the unfit person, then Qiyamah is close. Then Qiyamah is close. Sadaqa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But you could be worse. You could be in America between genocide Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Allah musta'an for our brothers in America. Allah, I don't know what they're going to do. So, as bad as it is, it could always be worse. Or, subhanAllah, as I said, our brothers in India who are facing a type of genocide. They're fighting for their survival. We're not yet there. We're not there, and may Allah grant us never to get there. So with all our problems, Allah has also given us a lot of benefits. So let's take one by one, the ANC. What can we say about the ANC? Good and bad. 30 years from a potential failed state to a functional state. They need to take that credit. Alhamdulillah, we give it to them. What they inherited to what they delivered is better. Alhamdulillah. We have a country based on human rights, laws, courts. We know that this is and I see this firsthand, they have a great respect for Islam and a great respect for the Muslim minority, for this Muslim community. Their stance on Gaza makes us believe in them again. And we hope that with all their failings, that the ANC has found its moral compass once again. We hope it's not just a PR stunt, that as you are so strong against injustices in Gaza, you will be also against the corruption and the evil here at home. That when people kill each other on the Cape Flats, those are children also. But we can't just accept what you've done in terms of corruption. Inexcusable, the level of corruption. Okay, all governments are corrupt, but there's a level of corruption where the country is brought to its knees. You can't say that for the whole year, you have every single day load shedding and we should just accept that. We can't accept that. It's been 10 years, 15 years, 2010, since 2010. You've had 15 years to fix it. How do I know if I vote for you again, another 5 years, it's not going to get worse? The economy is struggling. But more so, you haven't provided a clear solution. I don't trust that you have the solutions or the intentions to implement it. So this is the problem with the ANC, good and bad. The DA, wa ma adrakum al-DA. Yes, they claim to be better at service delivery. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they claim. Their stance on Gaza, though, is unforgivable for me. And I cannot prioritize my potholes and my bins, even my electricity, over the killing of children, for me personally. And this tells me who you are. And this tells me that if you're competent, but that's your ideology, what would you replace the ANC with? I cannot accept that. Their policies also have no problem in keeping the status quo of Cape Town, where you have an elite minority which controls the entire city. That's a problem. There's been no effort to change. In fact, it's become more unequal under them. And we are the most dangerous metro. The highest murder rate is in Cape Town. And as I said, the interests of the elite are served. So I have a problem with them. The EFF. A'udhu billah. Really, this is a party which purely gets its votes at the failings of the DA and the ANC. And the disillusion, people are so angry and in anger. And this, subhanAllah, this is how the BJP in India came into power. The Congress, Mahatma Gandhi's party, the ANC of India, who kicked the English out. Obviously, over years, they became corrupt. We will rule until Jesus comes. That's kind of what everyone says. We are the. But then you became corrupt and corrupt. And people became so angry that they went for a radical party. A party which didn't care about human rights. Which didn't care about, it was all about bringing down the establishment. A type of Donald Trump kind of mentality. And this is what we see. Not on morals, not on ethics, not on principles. It is there to create chaos and to get opportunity out of chaos. Their policies are not, it does not align with what we know to be correct policies. It is purely there to incite anger, violence, to incite frustration. And so I find a problem with that. I cannot see, in my honest opinion, a Western Cape or South Africa ruled by the EFF being better than a Western Cape ruled by the DA or ruled a South Africa ruled by the EFF instead of the ANC. I personally, you might feel differently and you're welcome. I cannot see and therefore I can't vote for them. But now, alhamdulillah, we have small parties. Small parties in the past, small parties didn't have much chance of coming in. Now, as the bigger parties are all losing votes, the small parties become more powerful. And there are Muslim parties, like the Sun Party, the AM4C, Al-Jama'ah. Voting for a small party was always a risk, because you needed 50,000 votes to get one seat. If you didn't, if they got 30 or 40, all that votes were lost. So it was a wasted vote. And some of the small parties might still be a wasted vote. Allah alam, we don't know how much they're going to get. Al-Jama'ah is the only one who broke into that threshold, barely, just barely. They have one seat in parliament. What did they do with that seat? They got a position in the mayorship of Gauteng. But there's a voice in parliament, and at least there's a seat. So now, having this considerations, what is our political strategy? Or what am I going to do? This is me thinking out aloud. If I look at the stats, so look at the numbers. Last year, last elections, the ANC, as we said, had about 57% of the votes. And based on the way they've been losing votes the last year, 6%, there's a chance that you could change the ANC this year. Your vote could change the ANC. And you need to think about, what does South Africa look without the ANC? A DA South Africa, or an EFF South Africa, or a coalition? And you ask yourself, does any of those parties sound better? And if the answer is no, then rather the devil you know than the devil you don't know. But if you feel genuinely that this party is better at ruling this country and legitimately they're going to get, then you need to vote with your conscience. The same goes with the DA. And subhanAllah, the DA, only 52% of the vote in the Western Cape. They're very close to losing this province. And you might say, is the ANC or EFF ruling the Western Cape better? Then you need to make that decision. So we must make our vote count. And we must show our dissatisfaction. We need to show the problems that the DA and the ANC you've ruled, you've made big mistakes, we need to show that without making it worse. And that's the crux. You cannot remove something because I don't like it and bring something worse in its place. That is haram. It's a Shari principle. If you replace something bad with something worse, then you should not replace it. Maybe there is a claim that we should dilute the power of these parties. We should have coalitions. We should have smaller parties and opportunity. These are all things that you need to consider. For me, a possible strategy, I have no problem replacing the DA with the ANC in the Western Cape. Personally, I don't have a problem. And I have no problem with a smaller party taking a chunk of the ANC's national vote and putting pressure on them to reform themselves. I have no problem with that as well. I don't see a better ruling party at the moment. Not because the current ruling party is perfect, but I don't see one that is better. I can't see it. And so, I will probably have a different party that I vote for in the Western Cape to the party that I vote nationally. I want both these ruling parties to know I'm not happy. I want both of them to fix it. I don't see the policy the DA aligns with me. I want the ANC to find its soul again. There are some good apples in there, and I hope they got rid of the bad apples. And I want our small parties to become stronger, to have a bigger voice in parliament, to be taken seriously, and to fight harder for us. And so these are my thoughts and reflections. Ultimately, the long-term strategy is not the 29th of May. Where you and I have failed is we only wake up election time. Part of our civic duty is to hold the people in charge accountable. And if we don't have a viable candidate now, we didn't have one 2019, we didn't have one 2014, how long are we going to persist at this? If it's a small party, then we need to fix it, build it up. If it's a big party that needs to be fixed, then we need to fix it. But we can't have this for our own sake. This is our country. And we need to play our role in being leaders and responsible, take care of our society, and play our civic duty. It is mandatory. It's part of our wajibat as Muslims. It is enough, as they say, for evil to prevail when good people do nothing. When we go back to sleep after the 29th and wake up, I don't know, the 2029, and then ask, how did we get to this point? We can't do that. And so may Allah guide us to do what is right, to what pleases Him. May Allah guide our leaders and our rulers, and may Allah appoint those who are the best of us. They are good people in this country. May they be the ones that oversee our affairs. Ameen, ameen, walhamdulillah. A few announcements. Alhamdulillah, Hajj season. We make dua for all our Hujjaj. And of course, Qurban season. Yes, please,
darling. There's two Qurban.
Okay, so a lot of announcements actually. Right, so Qurban, you can speak to Buddha Talib if you would like to Qurban. Best deed you can do during the days of Hajj is to Qurban. Maybe we make a Qurbani and all the political parties, may Allah bless them. I mean, right? And then our Hajj guide, Alhamdulillah, we've released a Hajj booklet. The Hajjis will take with them, inshallah, on Hajj, on Arafah. It's a wonderful gift. So not the Slavat is important, but the book as well. So please purchase the book and as a wonderful gift. And then Buddha Talib says there's two Khatams. First is a Khatam for Palestine. Saturday, tomorrow, the 25th, at Burano.
Yeah, at Burano.
Half past seven after Isha. Yeah, yeah, for Palestine. And then Scottish Kluf Khatam al Quran Jama'ah will be having their Khatam on Sunday, the 26th of May at Masjid Shafi, 7:30 in the morning, inshallah. We make dua. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.